What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
So it's another episode of What the Fuck. Just letting you guys know up front, not in a good mood tonight. Jillian already knows this from our pre-show chat, right, Jay?
Yes.
Not in a good fucking mood tonight. Let's just get into this shit. Let's get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Jillian, did you realize that the state of Georgia might be the most anti-gay state that we have? Georgia has a banned list of words you cannot use on license plates. You would assume, okay, you're not able to say fuck or shit. I understand that.
Generally states do, like, for the cussing and whatnot.
Right, and I understand that, because everyone would have a fuck you license plate or whoever got it first. Okay, did you know that they're basically the word gay is banned? Anything involving the word gay, gay rights, for gay lib, gay power, gay guy, anything
like
that.
But if that's your last name, like Gaylord or something like that. Can you show your license and be like, hey.
Or might be able to, but basically.
Oh, come on. How many people, if that was the only exception, you'd be having like Lord of the Gays, you know, like people would get Gaylord if that was the only way they could get gay on there.
I went to school with a guy named Gaylord, so it's not.
No,
that
I know, but never mind.
Cyrus Gilbert started fighting with the state of Georgia when he tried to get, you know, he's a very openly gay man, gay something put on his license plate. And they found out that.
Gay guy.
That gay guy and all this other thing are. Now, here's the other thing. Straight guy is not. So I do say there is a little bit of a one-sidedness. You can proclaim your straightness, but you can't portray your gayness on a license plate in Georgia. Kind of bullshit, huh?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with that, too, is, and I mean, if you're like, oh, well, straight guy, you know, of course, abbreviations with either using the number 8 or however, it's just, it doesn't really even say any reasoning other than obviously they're going against the gays, but like they don't even come out and say their reasoning behind having the word gay banned. And so, you know, of course, everybody's saying, well, this violates, you know, the First and 14th Amendment rights, the free speech. And it's just others are saying, oh, well, it's the state's rights to decide upon what you can and cannot have. I mean, the only thing I can say is, you should be able to have whatever you want to that extent on your license plate. However, it's kind of like, especially in Georgia, asking for trouble, wouldn't you think? I mean, not the fact that, oh, I want to say gay guy, but you know, you get the support, you know, gay rights and people get their car windows broken out and, you know, their car's keyed flat tires because you have something pro-gay on your car, even if you're not gay. So just from that point of view, I'd be like, dude, you live in Georgia. Maybe that's not the best thing to maybe you.
Maybe
want
he's
on
trying
your car.
To stir up the shit. But see, this is the part that's making this somewhat controversial. The state of Georgia's quote, there's always limits to what speech is permitted, and there are opportunities for them to restrict really obscene or vulgar license plates. The state trying to say that gay is vulgar on the same level as fuck?
No, they're talking about the word guy. Hello.
Oh, that's right. All right. Stupid me. We've talked on this show, I can't even count how many times, being positive for gay rights. That's why I think this is so stupid.
I mean, it is. And just the fact that, you know, having straight guy not on the list and having anything gay on the list, you're clearly... And it would be one thing if, like what I said earlier, if the government's like, well, we don't want any... you know, anticipated hate because, you know, I mean, they're not even trying to make that argument that it's for the good of, you know, people getting singled out, what have you. I would like to go on record. I do, seeing the straight guy not on the list, one of my favorite sayings, and I saw it on a postcard at this place I worked, it said, straight, so spaghetti until you heat it up. And I've just always loved that quote. Unfortunately, and basically most of our topic matter has to do with the southern states, and obviously, Georgia is known for not necessarily its most
open-mindedness
on equality. I'm almost wondering if, you know, this guy kind of looked into it. Like, maybe he doesn't even want gay guy in his license plate. Maybe he just kind of looked into it as like, okay, well, these are on the band and it's just trying to, you know, stir something up.
Yeah, that's what I said before. He might just be trying to stir up the shit.
Because, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really say, there's not a whole lot of meat in this article, So, but I mean, you can't have for gay lib, gay power, gay guy, anything like that. And it says that he was told specifically he couldn't have those things.
On that note, let's move on to the next gay topic, or anti-gay topic, I should say. Let's just stay in the state of Georgia. How about we do that, Jay?
Let's do that.
The state of Georgia has found a really interesting way to privatize public education. If that sounds like kind of a conundrum or an oxymoron, it's because it is.
What's the word I'm looking for? Bigotry. We've handled bigotry against homosexuals, lesbians, everything. And now it seems like it's just being added to the pile of shit. It's like, hey, it's 2013. We got issues with guns, you know, women's bodies, everything. Well, let's tack on the school system and just continue.
Exactly. Well, Georgia, like most states, gives tax credits to people who contribute to nonprofit organizations. Those nonprofit organizations are then given scholarships to private schools, basically vouchers, just they're not calling it school vouchers. Now, in Georgia, many of the private schools are funded by Christian organizations or Christian schools that have specifically anti-gay policies. The state of Georgia is basically saying, if the state, therefore the superintendents, therefore the principals of public schools, expel or otherwise penalize gay students, they get more voucher money.
Sounds like Pump Up the Volume, where she was like weeding out all of the troublemakers and people with low test scores and then, you know, keeping
their names
them on so that she would get more money. And obviously it's not the same thing, but that's the first thought that came to me when you said this. I was like, oh my God, it's like shady dealing. And here's the thing. It's like, do we really need fucking don't ask, don't tell in public schools now? And then it's not just, you know, oh, well, Johnny over there says he likes boys, so, you know, we need to expel him. But it's under the suspicion. So if you have, you know, basically, you know, you're not going to have any boys in the theater program because they're going to be worried and you're going to get the parents saying, no, they're going to think you're gay. You can't do theater. Because I know straight guys that love acting and do theater. But it's going to be, you know, basically you're running into, you know, oh, well, let's put stars on them or just, you know, I mean, it just kills me how they're trying to segregate. I'm sorry. I'm just speechless because this is just so wrong on so many levels that you're going to fucking expel someone and deny someone education in a public school because of their sexual preference.
What if it went the other way, Jay, and there was a school that was just all gay people and they penalized boys that liked girls? Do you think that these same people would be called, they'd all be crying foul at that, wouldn't they? Oh, that's discrimination.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how that works?
It goes anyway, whether it's, you know, race, sexual orientation, it's just, it's really sad. You know, if you want your child to grow up with these Christian beliefs and values, send them to a private school. Okay, there is no reason that someone's sexual orientation or race or religious belief should keep them out of a public education.
Absolutely not.
Instead of religion or race, you're going with sexual orientation. And it's just disgusting that it's come to that. And so now kids are going to have to be afraid to go to school of being outed. I mean, it's going to turn into witch hunt with sexual orientation because it's on the suspect of being gay. So you're going to have a girl who doesn't really like to wear dresses and is a tomboy. Oh, is she a lesbian? She's 14 years old, but she goes to school and I don't know, she acts boyish.
Yeah, is it going to eliminate tomboyism?
And I mean, on the other aspect, guys and drama, of course, I mean, that's, and I mean, for those of you who think I'm going over, I mean, that's just been the old staple of like, oh, you know, the drama club. And I'm not saying that all guys, but I mean, that
I can tell you, Jay, when I was in high school, that was true. The drama club, we're the boys that liked boys. I mean, that's just the way it was.
And I mean, so you're going to look at these things and these kids are going to be afraid to dress certain ways. You know, I mean, I can't even just put into words how wrong and disturbing this is. It's going to be these kids already go to school in fear with everything that goes on, whether it be violence, bullying, you know, anything. And then now you have to worry about, is someone going to think I'm gay when I'm not, or is someone going to find out that I'm gay? Am I going to get expelled? Because, you know, it's going to turn into I mean, basically, you're going into like the Red Scare territory where they're going to say, okay, well, do you know of any kids that you think are gay? And then they're going to name kids and it's going to be like a witch hunt. And they're going to get called in and be like, really? Well, who do you think is gay? If you're not gay, have you? I mean, it's just going to be this horrible mess. And it's supposed to be fucking school. This is where kids are supposed to be going to learn. And we're teaching our children segregation and hate. They're learning hate from. And as we talked, you know, in previous weeks about, you know, oh, well, kids are learning hate from guns and this and that. It's like, you know what? It starts with the fucking parenting, you know, and hate is being ingrained into these kids. So, you know, if you're going to go and teach kids that homosexuality is so wrong and that it is, you know, an offense that you can get expelled from school, and then just all of this, you know, the extreme aspects of certain religions that will go and say that, you know, these people are filth and it's horrible and, you know, they shouldn't exist and all of this crazy stuff. And then you're going to get somebody who's going to go and like fucking beat the shit out of these homosexual kids or fucking kill them. And you're going to say that it's the guns that it's the problem and it's video games causing violence when it's being taught to them in schools.
That's not the only aspect of it. There's also the just we can't avoid the religious aspect. This is Christian doctrine attempting to try and push its way into public learning. And that is not only illegal, I think it's immoral. You have Christian schools. You have religious schools. Teach your doctrine there. You do not have to teach it here. I'm sick of everyone in all these southern states that keep trying to push, we need to convert you. It's the same thing that they complain that the Muslims do in the Middle East. Oh, it's either convert or die. That's what it is here. Either convert or you have no future.
Well, that was the Spanish Inquisition. Join us or die.
Other than that, you've also got the religion trying to now push its way, as well as this rah-rah patriotism that is not just a Christian thing, it's just an American thing. Arizona, Representative Bob Thorpe, Republican, why does that surprise me, has introduced a bill, HB 2467. He has introduced this bill that basically in Arizona, if this passes, you will not be able to get your diploma if you do not recite a loyalty oath to the United States and agree that you will defend Christian values. So they're basically saying, if you want to be an atheist, a Wiccan, a Jew, a Muslim, or anything non-Christian, you don't get a high school diploma in Arizona. Too bad. This sickens me. I mean, they're trying to word this. First of all, I'm against loyalty oaths in general. Okay, I should not have to swear my loyalty to America. If I'm a British citizen, I should not have to swear my loyalty to the Queen. You do not have to swear your loyalty to get a fucking high school diploma. Jay, these people really eat at me. That these people, they always talk about, oh, it's freedom. It's patriotism. It's for our country. No, it's not. It's for your narrow-minded ideals.
Here's the thing. The last words of the oath are, so help me God. So I can see anyone who doesn't believe in God or the Christian God having an issue with that, who may not necessarily have a problem in reciting an oath. You have people who don't think there's anything wrong with reciting the Pledge of Allegiance other than having the word God in there. And that's a whole another subject of pledges versus having God in the pledges because of having church and state separate. Now, your issue, it sounds like, is having any kind of a Pledge of Allegiance and whatsoever, you know, there at all. Now, me, I grew up with reciting the Pledge of Allegiance in school. Yes, we had the under God, you know, instance, and that was way before the whole, you know, should you take out. You know, that's like saying don't sing America the Beautiful at 4th of July gatherings or whatever. So, but to have something that's saying this is a signed legal document, that I don't agree with. If it was just something as like, hey, you're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, or you're going to recite part of the Constitution before you get your diploma, that I don't have a problem with. But any kind of legal binding saying that, you know, I mean, the way this is worded, it almost sounds like you're swearing into the military. And I'll read it now. It's, I, state your name, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge these duties, so help me God. So right there, you're saying that you're saying it freely, yet you're making them do it. So right there, it's kind of like, say this, that you're doing it freely, but we're making you do it. So right there, it's kind of like, ah.
Yeah, it's like, two-facedness. Speaking of that, our last topic for this part of the show, we're just going to continue picking on the South, Jay, because, well, they deserve it, especially in this case. Texas schools, public schools, let me add again, Texas public schools in the last 5 years have been caught teaching that the Bible is the literal word of God. They have been caught teaching that Judaism is a, quote, flawed religion. They have been caught teaching that blacks are a cursed race and are genetically inferior to whites. They have been caught teaching that the earth is only 6,000 years old. They have been caught showing episodes of ancient aliens as historical fact with, quote, a new interpretation of angelic beings being described as extraterrestrials. Is it a wonder that Texas wants to secede from the United States when they exemplify everything that's wrong with the United States?
I mean, and here's the thing. I grew up with going to private school, okay? And it was nowhere near, like, this is why I always qualify. I'm like, not all Christians and not all Catholics are like this. You get these extremes. Like, even I was taught that the Bible wasn't the literal word. It was parables, and you were supposed to take from the teachings. And then you have people that are like, no, God created Adam and Eve, and they were the first two people. It's like, all right, so we're all incest, you know? And it's like, you're gonna, you know, and here's the thing too. It's like, you have these people that say, you know, everything in the Bible is completely true. And, you know, you ask these people, okay, so do you believe in angels? Yes. Do you believe in demons? No. And so that's kind of, you know, you get this, no matter what people say they believe in accordance to how much of the Bible is literal truth, they still pick and choose. I mean, we've talked about this so many times to where you have people that are like, nope, the Bible says this. And then you point out a different passage and be like, well, what about that? Well, that doesn't really count, times have changed. And it's like, hello, did you just listen to what you said?
Yeah, that's
and they
the
don't
point.
Care. It's picking and choosing. And I mean, saying that the earth is just 6,000 years old, I'm sorry, that's stupidity. If you want to believe in creationism, That's fine. You know, I mean, believe in what you want to believe, but there's certain things where you can't dispute that the world is, if you want to believe in creationism and you don't want to believe that people evolved from lesser forms, all right, fine. You know, but then you also have the people that want to force their beliefs on everybody, which seems to be a mass majority now, but you can't dispute certain things like how old the world is. There's
dinosaurs.
Certain things. Yeah, I mean, really, you look at ancient civilizations, it's like, no, like, you can't do that. If you want to dispute that, you know, with evolution, and you say, okay, well, no, those are just separate beings and people were around too, and whatever you want to tell yourselves, but something, I mean, I was telling Josh in pre-show that I saw something going on Facebook, and it was kind of funny. It was basically someone trying to dispute science, saying, you know, oh, well, if the earth is millions of years old and scientists, you know, can supposedly tell how old a tree is by cutting it open and counting the rings, how come they're not, you know, like a million rings? Science failed. And then someone replied and was like, trees don't live that long, sport. So it's just that kind of thinking. It's just so all or nothing. Yes, and it blows my mind. And to teach people these things in a public school. I mean, I grew up going to Catholic school. My mom was a church lady, literally, not the, isn't that special? No, like, she worked for a rectory. She's retired now. I am more agnostic, okay? And that's why a lot of times when we talk about this stuff and you're like, Jay, all Christians, I'm like, no. You know, and I have other family that are of other religions. And I just want to say, like, my mom, I swear to God, like, I want to go home to her and kind of be like, hey, mom, what do you think of this? And I wish that I would have known about this article sooner, because, like, even she would think this is ridiculous. I mean, like, my mom was not, and she's super religious, and she's not all, like, under these pretenses. And I mean, she believes in equality, and I just, it sickens me the way the world is going, because this is what you're teaching your children, and this is what they're
going to teaching
them ignorance.
Thinking. You're teaching them ignorance, and you're teaching them fantasy as fact, and that is going
not
to
just
doom
that, but
us.
Inequality as well. You're saying that these people are lesser than these people, and it just blows my mind. And it's like, you know what? The Bible also taught tolerance. You know that? And, you know, if they look at things Jesus said, like how we talked about the one article of the guy that lived as a gay man because he was just so immersed in bigotry. And he kind of had this click when one of his friends said that she was gay and confided. And he just basically pushed her away and kind of thought about it and was like, I'm going to see what it's really like, because he was raised like from, what was it, 8 years old in this school that just like such hate towards homosexuals that he was like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, see how this is. And he saw it just like how much hate he got from his family and the people that he considered friends. He met new people. And I wish I remember what episode it was. It wasn't too long ago.
My main issue is that this is happening in public schools. If this was not happening in a, if this was happening in a private school, we wouldn't be talking about it. A private school can teach whatever they want. A public school is supposed to teach facts. They are supposed to.
Even if it was in a private school, and I found it out, I would still want to talk about it because it's still ridiculous.
Oh, it's still ridiculous, but it's not offensively so. It's offensively so when it's in a public school.
I mean, hell, okay. If my kid came home with homework, okay, and there were those questions and answers and I was reading this, I would be like, what the shit is this? Like, seriously. And I would be at that school the next day being like, what are you teaching these children? Like, it's just insane. And then to find the teachers that are willing to teach this shit, it's like, what school is teaching these teachers that's, you know, the correct curriculum? Like, really? It's like, it's got to start somewhere. Because any sane person who, you know, is brought this information is like, hey, you're going to teach the kids this. Any person worth being called a teacher would be like, what are you talking about? And I mean, unless they just have no morals and they're like, whatever, job's a job. But good God, this seems like one of those weird infiltration movies where you find out it's almost like a mini cult where it's like, this is our truth and this is what we will teach. And this is, you know, the truth is what we say it is. I don't know. I'm at a loss of words. It really scares me that this is passing for education. And then we wonder like, okay, those shows, I'm sure you've seen commercials when you're watching your stuff on Hulu or TV, what have you, where they go to random people and ask them certain questions. And some are super easy, like how many legs does a spider have? And the people don't know. And you're just like, how the hell do you not know that? And it's like, that's what's going to be happening with these kids, where it's going to be very simple things. And it's just, they're not going to know anything. It's like you're teaching them this horrible trash. Like, what are you teaching them?
The
like,
real world is going to eat
you talked
them
about,
alive.
Yeah. Well, no, because everybody, it's just going to be, what was that? Idiocracy or.
Yeah.
That's what the world is going to fucking turn into.
Idiocracy was a cautionary tale, not something to aspire to.
Yes. And so, you know, you look at these, and we talked about before when people tweeting and didn't realize that the Titanic was a real thing and that it wasn't just a movie. And I talked to a few people about that. They're like, well, yeah, I can see that because, you know, they don't really teach that in every school. I'm like, really? You think in history class, that's kind of an important part of history.
Apparently, the Titanic is only a minor footnote in maritime history.
I guess, but how would you not know that that's real? Like, 400 years from now, are people going to be like, oh, 9/11 actually happened? I thought it was just like a movie.
It's here, two of the most fearless portrayals ever presented on the motion picture screen. Some of the scenes are so powerful that many have fainted.
You will witness the actual birth of a baby before your very eyes. Yes, you too will learn facts and truths you never realized existed. You will hear in person Dr. X, noted commentator.
Because of the subject of this motion picture, it will play to adults only. You may faint, but you will never forget. Streets of Sid and Life Begins.
Now showing at the Sheridan Drive-In Theater, Harlem Avenue at 79th Street.
Hey, you guys, have you ever been sick as hell and just completely embedded in your couch, oozing out of every orifice, sweating your balls off, blowing gunk out of your nose like crazy? Well, that's what's going on with me right now. And I turned on Comedy Central to watch The Daily Show this week. And I got really, really fucking pissed. One, we know that there's a major thing happening in the Senate right now. They're voting on whether or not the government can legally lie to us. They've done something to distract us. They have done a new move, a new bait and switch to get us to talk about something else and ignore this crucial vote in the Senate. So here's my reality check for that disingenuous dildo, Jonathan Stewart. It's real simple, Mr. Stewart. I'm going to ask Josh a couple questions, and I think he can help me track down the reality check here, what I'm about to get into. So, really simple. Josh, are you a boxing fan? Do you like boxing?
Nope. Never been a pugilist fan. That never my thing.
But you've seen it. You understand what it is, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
You ever seen an MMA fight, a UFC event?
Not a full one, but I've seen them on TV, clips, things like that.
Yeah, you've seen them, right? And they've got these things called weight classes in them, right?
Yeah, you don't put the 100-pound guy against a 300-pound guy.
No, and the reason that there's a weight class in sport combat is to make your fight more even. When you have a weight advantage, it gives you a combat advantage. And also in boxing and in MMA, they got a thing called what? It's the reach advantage. Reach advantage is about how long your arms are. And in martial arts, they should measure your legs too. But it's about how long your reach is. And they call it a reach advantage because when you're a little taller, it's an advantage. Now, when we watch the Olympics and Michael Phelps is swimming, is he swimming a girl?
No, he's going up against other men of a similar leg length, arm length, and weight.
Well, there's no weight limits in swimming because the men have a physical advantage on them. That's why. It's a very simple thing, folks. Are you a student of history at all, Josh? Do you study the history of warfare?
Not warfare specifically, but I pick up enough.
Well, you know, one of the greatest armies in the entire world, the history of humankind, was the Roman Empire. And the Roman army was one of the first professional armies in the world. Then there was the Greeks, all kinds of other different warriors and barbarian raiders. And let me ask you a question. Ever heard of a female centurion?
Don't believe so.
No. You ever seen one of those gladiator movies with a bunch of chicks fighting?
Only in my fantasies.
Exactly, guys. Here's what I'm getting at. We have been talking about Jonathan Stewart went off women and put him on the front lines in combat roles. I think we are doing them, the women, an enormous disservice. And they are being pumped up full of shit about what they can or can't do. They tried to make the fire department in Los Angeles co-ed. But the problem is the female body isn't built for it. It's not strong enough. They weren't built to carry the hoses up those ladders and shit. And, you know, I hate to agree with Fox, but they were talking about this on Fox, and they mentioned the fact that, you know, if you're out in combat, you got to carry your buddy if he's hurt. You understand? You got to carry him out of there, not drag him out of there. You got to carry his fucking ass out of there. And believe me, my wife ain't carrying me nowhere, motherfuckers. She's not. I love my wife. She's fantastic. She's an amazing person. But she's not going to go into combat against me. She's just not. And this is the issue that I feel is being completely ignored. The Olympics are not co-ed. The UFC does not have co-ed fights. They're not doing it. Now, does that mean a woman can't be a badass? Fuck no. I know female badasses. I know martial arts chicks that scare the shit out of me. I watched Ronda Rousey train, the first female UFC champ. She's amazing. She's fantastic, and she's a very dangerous chick, but that's a special chick. That's not your usual chick. That's a different kind of girl who's focused most of her entire life on learning combat, okay? To take this notion that you could just take these girlies and throw them out there, and I'm not trying to be dismissive by using the term girly, but the fact of the matter is, ladies, your bodies are physically different than ours, and we have to understand that men and women, we're not the same. I was not built for pregnancy. You understand? I cannot carry a child. I will never be able to carry a child, but I can't have a fucking child. I can't carry a child. What a woman can. Her body's built for that. There are certain advantages that her body has because of the fact that it has to carry a child. You want to talk about putting women on the front line? You put them in an Air Force jet because according to the stats, their bodies handle the G-forces better. There's another issue we need to deal with here. Rape is absolutely rampant in the military, and they have been dropping their standards. Do you understand? The military has been dropping their standards of who they will let into the military. They have dropped their education standards. They have dropped their weight requirement. They have dropped their criminal record requirements. They have real issues of gangbangers being in the military and shooting their sergeants. And you know what I came across the other day? I'm sitting here looking up the rape statistics on the front line in combat situations, right in the combat situation. It's going to get worse because 2010, there are an estimated 19,000 cases of rape in the military. That's one fucking year. 2010, 19,000 cases of rape in the military, and a large majority of which went unimported.
That is an abysmally high number. It's sickening how high that number is.
It really is. I'm sitting here reading about a young lady who joined the Coast Guard, and she was 4 feet, 11 inches tall. She signed up. 2 months in, she's assaulted and raped by her 6 foot, 3 inch supervisor, who weighed 240 pounds. They broke her fucking jaw. I mean, seriously, folks, ladies, you don't know what you are getting into. You do not fucking know. They don't care about you. They don't. I have a deep respect for the military. But what they're doing, what the civilian oversight is doing to our American military is disgusting because they're letting in the scum, the absolute scum. Ladies, do you want to be on the front line with fat, stupid, and gangster? Is that the guy you want next to you in the foxhole? And I think that's a real issue, too. I know, Josh, that you would express some anger, too. You have feelings about them letting in gangbangers or criminal records into Army also, right?
Yeah, they basically have lowered the standards to the point where some road warrior throwaway wannabe can now be fighting on the front line along with someone who is educated and trained. It's like we'll just take anybody at this point. There's a reason that people go to prison and not go into the military. But now they even offer, well, you can go to prison for 4 years or do 4 years in the military. You're your choice. That shouldn't be an option, Hart.
Yeah, man. So I'm pissed off. I think that they're using this to get us to talk about women in the military and to argue about it. Because, you know, I know you ladies are going to be fucking pissed that I said some of this shit. But the facts are the facts. Co-ed boxing? Not happening. Co-ed Olympics? Not fucking happening. Co-ed UFC heavyweight title fight? Not fucking happening. It's not happening. And then there's issues of socialization, okay? Men are socialized to be more bold and decisive. It's part of our fucking culture. You have a psychological disadvantage by getting in the military. And this isn't me saying this. This is female director Gabriella Cop, like I'm going to kill her name, Copperweight, from Sundance. You know, you got these female filmmakers at Sundance, and they're all pissy because they're saying, oh, you know, it's so hard to make movies for women in a world of men. Fucking quit blaming everybody else for something that's wrong in your life, for something that's missing in your life. Don't get mad at me because you're a 5'3" chick and you want to go kick ass like a dude. You ain't a dude. It's different. We are a different thing, you know, and this thing with putting the women into the frontline combat. That's my issue. I think there's a place for women in the military, without a doubt. And I'm very happy that there's women that want to make this sacrifice. I really respect that fact. But our civilian leaders are doing you a disservice, a major disservice. And these rape stats are insane. 19,000 rapes in 1 year alone. I don't know what to say.
It's actually sickening because I'm sorry, you cannot put men and women together in high-pressure situations and not expect that kind of thing to happen. It's part of what's built into us like an animal instinct. You can't expect that to not happen because you're told it can't happen.
You know, my wife's from Japan, and they have a real issue with American military bases in Okinawa. And their issue is, American Marines keep raping Japanese girls. They've been raping so many Japanese girls that the Japanese government wants to kick the fucking base out of Okinawa, goddamn China on their horizon. Even with Korea right there. That's how many women in Japan have been raped by Marines. It's pretty fucking crazy. And the military, they don't care, man. They're so busy fucking with people. I mean, they didn't have any real evidence of crime at all. Yet they traced the locations and identity of Broadwell and General Petraeus. They read through Broadwell's emails. They went through Petraeus's emails. They read through 20,000, 30,000 pages of emails between General Allen. It's out of control. Their priorities are upside down. And what I think is happening, too, is They can't get anybody else to join the military. So now they're going to throw the girls under the bus. And this is our future here. You're going to go over to Iraq and you're going to get irradiated, which is also a problem, because I have a real problem with the way our government treats our troops. Our government treats our troops like shit. They constantly shit on these guys. They don't want to pay out what they're supposed to pay out. They don't want to pay out their injured pay. They don't want to take care of the families of the dead soldiers.
They want to make them buy their own
brutal.
Heart. They want to make them buy their own body armor.
If they want to make them buy their own body armor?
Yeah, that came out back during the Bush era. The U.S. military would not pay for the body armor in Iraq, so they had to have their families buy body armor from a mercenary and ship it over to U.S. soldiers in Iraq because the U.S. military refused to pay for that.
Hey.
The U.S. military even sued a guy who had his leg blown off with an IED because it damaged his armor. Because when he turned his armor in after losing his leg after he got honorable discharge, he was charged for the damage done to his equipment.
What a bunch of
That's our U.S. military, Hart.
That's how it's run by civilian oversight, my friend. Yeah, I'm really upset about this. And then Jonathan Stewart's flippant attitude about it. And the capper on it was this. They brought on a female armed forces soldier, and she has been suing the military to be able to be put on active frontline combat. You want to know why she did this, Josh? She wants her career to progress. She wants frontline combat experience so that she can get more promotions. She's not saying, I want to get out there and support my fellow troops. No, she's going out there and has sued the military to be able to go to the front line for her own personal stake to be promoted up rank. Not giving a fuck about whether it's going to hurt somebody or it's going to hurt unit integrity, which is really fucking real. And how about this one, folks? We talked a little bit about the fact that women's bodies are made to have children. Is that a bad thing? No, it's the natural order of shit. That is what your body is designed to fucking do. Deal with it, all right? Fucking deal with it. Grow the fuck up. Now, does that mean you gotta have kids? No, it doesn't. But it does mean that you're gonna have a menstrual flow. And I don't know about you, Josh, but I've had some girlfriends that were crippled by PMS.
I have too.
Goddamn bad. She had to lie in the bed for 2 days when it would happen with a heating pad on her stomach. I knew another girl who was a girlfriend of mine who went nuts on PMS so bad that she was part of a UCLA program studying the red rage part of PMS. Now, is that what you want on the front line?
I don't.
Because it's a true thing. It's a true thing. You're in the front line, you're in fucking combat, and what? You're PMS-y? You're not feeling so fresh that fucking day? This is real, man. The menstrual cycle is serious. It is no fucking joke. Women lose a lot of blood, and their bodies are serious, man. You gotta respect the biology. And that's just the fact, the fucking matter. Now, does every chick have crazy PMS? No, they don't. It's a serious thing to deal with. What are you going to do with all those sanitary napkins? What if you have toxic shock? What are you going to do? And then there's the issue of us poisoning our women with uranium-tipped munitions and all the stuff I've argued about before. We're really doing the ladies a disservice, and we are doing no help to our men troops. It's a bad idea all the way around. The Greeks weren't co-ed. Alexander the Great did not conquer the world with a co-ed fucking army. These are facts. This is the way it works, folks. That's all I got to say on the fucking subject.
Beyond hunger and war, beyond earthquakes and tidal waves, there is a fate the human mind can barely comprehend. Total annihilation. And there is nothing on earth or anywhere else to prevent it. End of the world. You have everything to look forward to. Except tomorrow. It's probably science fiction, but what if it's not? Rated PG.
Well, Jillian, we might as well keep picking on the South while we're here. New Mexico lawmakers have found another way to attempt to circumvent the abortion debate. Republican, again, why is this not a surprise? Republican State Representative Catherine N. Brown has introduced House Bill 206, which, when all boiled down, says a woman who gets pregnant as the result of a rape is not able to get an abortion because she will then be charged with destroying or tampering with evidence by getting rid of the child conceived by the rapist.
Okay, and- no, here's the thing. All right, first of all, you're saying life begins at conception, and then you're going to call it evidence. So when the baby pops out, are you going to put it in like an evidence bag and it goes in the storeroom? Secondly, okay, so if you are raped and you're not pregnant, does that mean you don't have evidence? The evidence of rape, like the child is not evidence of rape. So you're going to have women not reporting a rape because they got pregnant or they're afraid they're going to be pregnant and need to get, you know, an abortion. And then you're going to have people that are just going to maybe, you know, lie and say they weren't raped so that, you know, they can do the abortion. And I mean, you know, if it's a matter of paternity, I mean, that doesn't prove rape. I mean, there can still be the argument of it was consensual sex. Like if you have a child out of rape, that's not like, oh, clearly you were raped. That has nothing to fucking do with it. And then you've got, you know, the situation of, oh, well, dads can have parental rights even though, you know, you were raped. So you're going to say the lady can't have an abortion because she was raped. And then you're going to sentence her to 18 years of hell because her rapist gets parental rights.
Yeah, of keeping the rapist in her life. But basically what this is, and maybe I'm looking at it on a more conspiratorial level, they basically can't say you are not allowed to get an abortion in New Mexico. Now they're saying, well, now we can just make it so goddamn difficult to get an abortion that people won't do it. It's just another way to go, abortion is wrong, you will listen to us. Because they will actually be able to charge the woman with a felony for aborting the evidence of the rape.
Here's my thing too, okay? I mean, you know there's going to be some red tape somewhere, and I am not an advocate of, oh, you had sex and you ended up having a baby, so you should get an abortion. I am not advocating that anyway, but it happens. We've talked about, like, you know, eventually these ladies are going to get fucking punch cards, you know, 10th and you get your 11th free. So no, I do not agree. Abortion is not birth control.
No,
however,
not at all.
So you're going to have situations where a lady's like, oh, I got really drunk, I don't know who the father is. I mean, there are situations people are on certain medications and they can't have kids. Like the medication is going to either kill the child or leave them, you know, severely deformed mentally and physically. And so it's one of those, I mean, you can have couples in, you know, a married relationship and then, oh, something goes wrong and the mom gets pregnant, you know, what have you. And she needs, you know, the medication to sustain her life. So you're going to have situations of these women that most likely do get abortions for birth control, unfortunately. It's going to be one of those, well, who's the father? I don't know. I was really drunk and I slept with like 10 guys. Be like, well, no, we think maybe you were raped and you didn't report it. You know, I mean, it's going to be just such rigmarole to go through a medical procedure that is legal, whether you believe it's right or not, it is legal. But you're going to have to basically prove that you weren't raped if you, you know, we're going through an abortion, and then that goes into the whole, well, we need to get the father say so.
Which also bleeds into my theory of the conspiracy, because there's more than just what I had already said. Actually said, after all the bullshit came out about this and all the backlash, that her bill was, quote, possibly badly drafted, and she missed a possible reinterpretation of that. Quote, I missed this one, which is bullshit. There's no way this was a mistake. It had 9 Republican co-sponsors. You can't backtrack out of this. It is a clear agenda to penalize legal abortion. She doesn't get to backtrack her way around this. She got caught. She was hoping it would slip through. Nobody would read it. There'd be no frou-frou over it. And then, hey, look, we got another win in our column, guys. That's what I think this really is.
And I mean, the thing with this also, and we've talked about this before, it's everybody is so, you know, such concern over the unborn baby and a mother's womb. And it's no, you have to have the baby, you have to do this. And, you know, if you eat this food, it's like child abuse because it's not, you know, you shouldn't have fast food. Like everybody has a million and one, you know, ways of how you should be when you're pregnant. And then as soon as that baby's born, the government's like, okay, done, you have the baby. And it's so hard to get what you need. I mean, there's
to get on welfare, to get food stamps.
Right. Or like funding for, you know, adoption or orphanages or, you know, safe houses, anything like that. It's like, you know, once the baby's out, it's like, okay, they're all, you know, pro-life and no matter what, you should have the baby and, you know, hawk's eye on the mom until the baby's born.
Republicans are the same people that are the biggest pro-war lobby, and they're the biggest pro-life lobby, which to me is a contradiction in terms right there. To me, they see all these live babies as future dead soldiers. That's what they want. They want them to grow up poor and disfranchised so they join the military so they can sit on their fat asses and not have to do anything. They don't believe in the sanctity of life. None of these fucking people do. All these people are the same ones that signed off on invading Iraq and blowing up all the brown people over there, but they have the sanctity of life. These people are as too fucking faced as they come, Jillian.
This was just recently released, and the wording of the article, it's almost like the article is arguing with itself in some of the wording. So
yeah,
I'm going to give you guys...
To me, I think the article is...
It's
from
like
the
it
Washington
was written
Post.
By two different people. It's weird.
It's
like
really trying to have both sides of the argument make sense, and they don't.
It fails. But okay, basically, Obama signed an executive order on abortion outside of like the media. So right then people were like, oh, what? And he didn't do it in the limelight. And there's controversy. Basically, the pro-life people aren't happy and the pro-choice people aren't happy. What he did is he signed an amendment basically saying that abortion will not be covered by federal funding healthcare, but then it also says that there's something going on about repealing it, and there's all of this rigmarole on, you know, him trying to make certain people happy and this and that. But basically, the argument is, you know, you've got the pro-life people being like, well, you didn't go far enough. You know, basically, you should have abortion be completely illegal. And then you've got the pro-choice people being like, that's not fair. The way I look at it is, you know, you're talking about federal healthcare. Okay. It is not medically necessary to get an abortion in most cases.
Agreed.
I think in the cases where, you know, the doctor's like, you as a mother are going to die if you carry this baby to term, that would be medically necessary. So I would not have a problem in being like, okay, well, this is covered. Just like with, you know, certain things in any healthcare provider, you know, if you look at breast reduction normally isn't covered. You know, it's like, all right, that's nice, it's cosmetic. Sometimes it is medically necessary. You have severe cases, and I've worked for an insurance company, and I will tell you right now, they make sure it's medically necessary. It is like the longest checklist and like all this documentation, and like you would not believe. So they, it's not just something like, oh hey, my doctor says I need this, okay, done. Like
you have a ring full of hoops you have to jump.
Oh my god, you do. It's insane.
And see, like when you brought that up, and I'm not being flippant about this, the one I thought of was, you remember Soleil Moonfry, Punky Brewster?
Yeah.
When she had to get her breast reduction because it was literally throwing her spine out of alignment. Her boobs were so big. So that's immediately what I thought of, was Soleil Moonfry.
Insurance is just like really messed up. A lot of people will look at an insurance company and be like, they suck, they're not covering this. But big companies like, say, Allstate, Blue Cross, you know, your big ones, a lot of people don't realize that it's not necessarily them setting up the parameters. It's the company you work for. So the insurance companies, I mean, don't get me wrong, they have stuff to do with some things. But for instance, like you have the Catholic charities and things like that that don't cover birth control. And they're like, oh, well, you know, the insurance company doesn't cover it. It's like, well, yeah, they do. It's just your specific company that you work for is saying they don't want it covered. So it's kind of like if you look at a list of hierarchy. So if you have the main insurance company that's on your carrier card, they have what they do and what they will not do. And then underneath them is the company that you're working for that you get your benefits from. And they get to go off of that checklist and be like, I want this, I want this, I want this. So if that helps, maybe I just confused everybody more. So, you know, you have what's in the field of medically necessary. I mean, there were bullshit situations where, you know, I could look at charts and things and, you know, even the doctors would say, hey, this is medically necessary. It would turn out women had breast cancer and they did the tissue autopsy first. And so what would happen is they found out they had cancer. But because there wasn't some procedure done before the tissue autopsy, it wasn't being covered when it did show they had cancer. So it was bullshit like that, and they'd have to appeal and just like all this red tape shit. So when you get into medically necessary, a lot of people just think that it's, oh, well, the doctor says it's medically necessary, I get to go along my merry way. No, it's a bunch of bullshit you got to go through, which, you know, basically to prove that it is medically necessary. So in a situation like abortion, you know, I think a lot of people have it in their minds that it's like, oh, well, my doctor's just going to say it's medically necessary because of blah, blah, blah. No, it's not going to be like that. You know, if you have a kid and you're 16 and it's like, well, this is going to be really hard on her because her body's not ready for it. Well, no, that's not medically necessary. 16-year-olds do have kids, you know, yeah, so there is that. Right. So there is that gray area. And then so I think if it is medically necessary, then yeah, it should be covered. If it's not, there's a lot of things where it's like, you know, people with really large breasts, everybody thinks that, you know, oh, well, they love them, they're so lucky. Not necessarily, but it's not medically necessary that they can, you know, take care of that.
But let's look at the abortion thing. Now, Jillian, I really have to wonder, our entire life, and I'm older than you, so my entire life, your entire life, this has been a hotly debated issue. Are we ever going to get over this, do you think, and just come to a consensus that it's right for some people in some situations and it's not right for some people in other situations?
Look at what we just talked about in the last segment of what's being taught. It's like things are getting worse. They're not getting better. Everybody is so obsessed with my way or the highway, and this is what I believe, and this is, you know, how it should be. So, you know, you've got a situation that, you know, like abortion, that is just still such a hot button that no one is going to come to a consensus. You know, whether it ends up being, you know, hey, it's legal, it's covered, it's not covered, you know, that can all change in 4 years when another president gets put in line. You know, like I said, after this past election, and I still stand by that, it's like a breath of fresh air that's like, okay, I don't have to worry about that now. But I know any good that may pass during this term can just be undone and worsened should you get the wrong person in next term. So there is no real kind of safety net, because you're always going to have those people that are like, this is what our country should be, this is what I believe. And I mean, everybody has that, but you have these extremists that just get it in their head and they're like, this is what, you know, it's going to be. And you have people putting values on lives. It's like you can't even have 5 people agree on a topping for a pizza. You're not going to have a whole nation agree with what's right and wrong.
Let's go out and get a pizza. You and I can try and decide on a topping. But
I want ham and mushroom.
Okay, we're not going to decide on a topping.
We can do half. See, this is why the gods invented half and half. Because you can go to Domino's and get like 1/2 toppings. And so you can have 2 people get half a pizza.
Where can people find you if they want to send you pizza ideas?
Don't send me pizza ideas. I have enough mail and go through my toppings. You just want to go through my toppings, don't you, Josh?
Did I ever imply I didn't?
Give me your special sauce.
Oh, I'll special sauce all over your toppings.
30 minutes hot and ready.
I can go more than 30.
That's why you stock up on like gallons of Gatorade. I'm on Facebook, of course. Twitter, The Mistress J. And I'm featured on thecinemasnob.com as well as occasionally on geekjuicemedia.com.
I am on the same, geekjuicemedia.com, and you can contact this show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. I will see you guys later. I'm going to go make a pizza.
Pizza.
It was.